and Mrs. America, Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, your neighbors from flyover country, we are coming to you on WWCR.com with the Divided Kingdom evening news program with the Christian emphasis that you have come to know and trust since the year 2003. And tonight, we are seeing the Republican convention having kicked off, and we are somewhat heartened. We really have to be heartened because, unlike the Democrats who removed God from the Pledge of Allegiance, the Republicans began their convention with an invocation to God by Cardinal Francis Dolan. And then the next evening, Tuesday, also began with a religious invocation by the Reverend Norma Erdozo, who prayed that truth and justice would be sought by America's leaders. Monday night painted a human caring portrait of the man so viciously reviled and slandered by the mainstream press, that is, of course, President Donald J. Trump. And the testimonies of Parkland father of slain student Meadow, and Representative Vernon Jones, Nikki Haley, and most of all, athletic great Herschel Walker, all painted a picture of Donald Trump as a caring individual. Herschel Walker remembered that they had been friends for 37 years. RNC chief figure Ronna McDaniel set the stage for the wonderful tribute evening, celebrating the old America we love. Tuesday was even more outstanding in honoring God with pro-life people and messages of spiritual hope, so different from the Dems' convention of gloom and doom. Daniel Cameron, he's the first black attorney general in Kentucky, and he really took the evening by storm. He was so Lincoln-esque, and he was born just a short distance from the birthplace of Lincoln. And he emanated decency and the embodiment of an African-American who overcame obstacles to obtain his part of the American dream. Vice President Pence and many ordinary Americans, some even Democrats, witnessed how President Trump's policies had turned around their businesses. They all affirmed what VP Mike Pence asserted, every day Trump is fighting for freedom. And then Tuesday night was a family affair with Eric and Tiffany Trump speaking. And finally, the highlight of the entire evening, after viewers saw a naturalization ceremony. There was a clip of that that had happened earlier at the White House. Then Slovenian immigrant, legal immigrant, now become U.S. citizen, and First Lady Melania Trump held all of us spellbound as she outlined her work in the past 3.5 years, helping children and families, standing against opioid addiction crises, and so much more. You know, listeners, even the former DNC committee chairman, Donna Brazile, on Fox, applauded Melania, her beautiful talk to the country. And though this all looks good, we have to know, listeners, we are not out of the woods yet. Yes, tonight is another August emergency broadcast. There's some breaking news that's so important. This plan of the NWO, the deep state, runs deep. The players and intricacies of the plot for tyranny are really hard to figure out. Some are obvious. Take John Meacham, deep state editor, journalist, and admirer of Nelson Mandela. Meacham's words, to save our souls, we must vote for Biden. But then why in heaven's name is House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on TV constantly extolling the coming warp speed vaccines, while Jewish doctor Mark Siegel promotes a yellow pin worn to denote vaccination accomplished? What's the real deal with FDA head appointed in December by Trump, Stephen Hahn, having successfully stopped as many as perhaps 40,000 people lives from being saved by hydroxychloroquine? Strangely, he was Trump's appointee, while Donald Trump himself did use hydroxychloroquine, and Z-Pak and zinc. He actually stated that on TV. He seemed to valiantly defend it. What is the subtle message that our president himself seems to be trying to convey about the strange Biden campaign? And you know that we have read an essay by Angel Marie, head of K-Star Talk radio programming, in which she thinks Hillary is waiting in the wings. And that would explain this weak, weak candidate Biden in the basement. So at any rate, we think it's interesting that President Trump seems to be trying to convey something. Several times now, in analyzing Biden's less than sterling cognitive performance, Trump says with definitive expression in his voice, something strange is going on. Something strange is going on. It isn't fair to the American people. We certainly agree. Deep state is nothing if not complicated in its coterie of turncoats.
Tonight's late August emergency broadcast has leftists using the guillotine symbol. And this breaking news of possible danger to Trump. It first broke August 18th.
And would you read that again? Did you say it has the left using the guillotine symbol? Read that headline again.
That's right. It has the leftists using the guillotine symbol. And this breaking news of possible danger to Trump. It first broke August 18th with a follow-up article August 22nd at naturalnews.com. Health Ranger Mike Adams expressed his deepest concerns. Breaking. Live guided air-to-air missile discovered at Florida Airport near Tampa. Markings indicate a Matra R-530F radar-guided missile that could bring down Air Force One. A live air-to-air radar-guided missile was just discovered at the Lakeland Linder Airport in Florida, east of Tampa, and the airport was ordered to evacuate. We have analyzed the markings of the missile storage container and discovered this missile is a Matra R-530F missile, which uses radar guidance and could be used to bring down Air Force One or a similar-sized airplane. This is highly relevant to current events, given that a U.S. Air Force helicopter used to help provide security to President Trump during short flights was fired upon last week, causing an emergency landing to be initiated, after which one occupant required hospitalization, according to media reports.
Now, listeners, we have to interrupt to say that this is a self-financed program. Lou and I have struggled for 17 years to bring this news to you, and we are no longer on any network that interrupts every 3 or 4 minutes to make you withstand commercials. The MSM programs, you have to wait all the time for commercials. And if you value this program, please keep us in your deepest prayers, and you can help us with any amount of money. Put a little cash in an envelope. We can't take personal checks. They must be made out to WWCR, but you can write a money order or write a check to WWCR and send it to Lou Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. We want to not take away any time because we have so much important information. We know that we reported before there may have been a close call with that shooting when President Trump was ushered out of the press briefing. So now, Lou, you're saying that there has been a helicopter hit. Is that right?
Yes. Well, it was shot at. Fired upon. Didn't say it hit it, but it was fired upon and had to make an emergency landing. And one occupant required hospitalization, according to media reports.
And does it give an exact date? Is that about a week ago? Probably.
Well, as of the writing, which was August 18th, it's referred to as last week.
All right.
All right, moving on now. It says, we also know that Communist China has been smuggling weapons components into the United States to arm Black Lives Matter terrorist groups with automatic weapons, upgrades, and illegal suppressors, as Natural News has previously reported, citing U.S. Customs and Border Protection press releases. AmericanMilitaryNews.com is carrying the details of this radar-guided missile, which was discovered in the Lakeland Linder Airport, citing both Bay News 9 and ABC Action News. from AMN, that's American Military News, we have this quote. An explosive ordnance disposal, EOD team, from MacDill Air Force Base came to help safely remove the missile on Friday. This weekend, we received a call that a contractor at Lakeland Linder Airport had discovered a guided missile. Our 6th EOD team helped secure it with the help of ATF, the Lakeland Fire Department, and our 6th LRS team, who provided a flatbed semi for transportation, MacDill Air Force Base said in a statement posted to Facebook on Monday. They went on to say, quote, it is currently sitting in a munition storage facility on base awaiting proper disposal. And on the website, naturalnews.com, for August 18th, it does have some photographs. Moving on, a closer look at the markings of the missile holding container reveals the serial number and missile type indicators. The markings say MIS, A/A, MP, EM, F-20, S-520, Lot 28, serial number 5185. According to the orange ring on the right edge of the photo above, the missile is live, meaning it carries live explosives. The red ring indicates the missile also contains its own propulsion fuel, which is, of course, a different kind of explosive. Reports American Military News, quote, Lakeland Linder Airport officials eventually gave the all clear after the missile was taken away. Markings on the left side of the missile's container read RJAF Jordan Air Forces, indicating the missile or its container may have belonged to the Royal Jordanian Air Force. But wait, what's an unaccounted air-to-air missile doing in an airport in Florida? The U.S. Air Force, giving the all-clear, misses the whole point of this story. What is a Jordanian air-to-air missile doing in a container in Central Florida in the first place?
And Lou, we already said that the deep state entanglements run deep, and all of these co-conspirators, they're all over the world, all over the world map.
Oh, that's so right.
Pick it up.
Yes. Who brought it in, and how? What is its intended purpose? It's not the U.S. military, obviously, or the missile wouldn't be Jordanian. This means someone else brought it into the United States. For what purpose was it brought into the country? One clue may be found in this 2019 article from The Aviationist. And if you go to the website, you can click on that and see the link. And that article documents the discovery of the exact same type of missile with serial number 5284, which was found to be in the possession of a neo-Nazi extremist gang operating out of Italy. In fact, the Polizia di Stato conducted a raid on the neo-Nazis and discovered this same air-to-air missile in their possession, according to media reports. As the story explains, the neo-Nazi group was trying to sell the missile to someone else for nearly €500,000. The investigation began last year while monitoring Italian foreign fighters involved in combat operations in the Donbass region in Ukraine. While monitoring telephone communications of one of the suspects, the police discovered the presence of the missile and some attempts to sell it to an unknown client for €470,000. The police then proceeded to retrieve the missile in a warehouse near Voghera Rivenazzano Terme Airport in northern Italy. And they mentioned a photograph shown on the original website that indicates that Italian police have managed to figure out how to open a missile container, which itself is something of a miracle. As the story explains, these missiles are made by French weapons manufacturers, and they are sold to Qatar and apparently Jordan. They are intended to be fired from Mirage fighter jets, also manufactured in France. In effect, the so-called Super 530 missiles are intended to be fired from French-made Mirage fighter jets for the purpose of destroying other aircraft. Do Mirage fighter jets exist anywhere in Florida? Perhaps so. The idea isn't as far-fetched as you might imagine. A flight entertainment company called FighterJetRides.com offers flights in Russian MiG fighter jets, and they're located at the Aurora Aerospace Training Facilities, not far from Tampa. It's not difficult to imagine that someone in Florida might have a Mirage fighter jet up and running, too. And this is Mike Adams speaking. We are not intending to imply that this MiG fighter jet entertainment company has anything to do with this, merely pointing out that functional fighter jets obviously do exist under civilian control in Florida. Can missiles made from Mirage fighters be fired by other military aircraft? We don't know. But with time to modify the interface, it certainly seems feasible that some well-funded anti-American terror group operating out of Florida could possess this missile, while having access to a fighter jet that could be deployed in an effort to literally shoot down Air Force One and assassinate President Trump. Naturally, Air Force One has radar jamming capabilities of some kind, but many such countermeasures have only a limited record of success. And if this one missile just happened to be discovered, how many more missiles have been transported into the United States without being seen? It looks to me like someone is arming up for a war against America to be waged from inside America. November 4th, anyone? With the unwatchable DNC convention causing nationwide nausea among likely voters, the Democrats may be desperate enough to try kinetic weapons if they can't rig enough cheat-by-mail ballots. In any case, the spectrum of possible conflict in the USA just got upgraded from rifles to missiles. What's next? Suitcase nukes? And we have an update on that very story. A few days later, on August 22nd, also some natural news by Mike Adams, this was the headline. Exclusive private company offering contract air support using military jet fighters located in Lakeland, Florida, where a live air-to-air missile was just found. As you may recall, a live radar-guided air-to-air missile was found last week on the tarmac of the Lakeland, Florida airport. We analyzed the serial number and data details of this missile and found that it was a Matra R530F missile made by French weapons contractors and designed to be used on French-made Mirage fighter jets. As we pointed out in the previous article, the missile had a live warhead and was equipped with propulsion fuel. It merely needed to be attached to a Mirage fighter jet, and it could be launched against any aircraft flying over the skies of America. We speculated that even Air Force One could be theoretically brought down by this missile. Other media reports have confirmed that the Matra 5 R530F missile was shipped into the United States via Amazon Air, which is an air cargo operation owned by Amazon, which is, of course, largely owned by Jeff Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post, a CIA-run propaganda disinfo publisher that has conspired with the deep state to try to overthrow the president of the United States, Donald Trump. So when we speculate about a missile possibly being used to shoot down Air Force One, it really doesn't involve much speculation at all. Deep state operatives have already said they plan to remove Trump from office by force. This particular missile was acquired from Jordanian's military and shipped into the United States, no doubt illegally. The entire coverage of this missile has been hush-hush from a national security point of view, and no one has been charged with smuggling this weapon into the country, as far as the public knows. Now, our former military sources have conducted a deeper investigation into the possible deployment of this missile, and they've discovered something rather shocking. In the same city where the missile was found, Lakeland, Florida, there exists a private corporation that offers, quote, contract air support, unquote, services, including air-to-air missions, air-to-ground support, fleet missile defense, and other contract services. Importantly, this corporation owns and operates a fleet of over 80 ex-military fighter jets, including the Mirage fighter jet that is capable of carrying the Matra R530F missile.
How convenient.
Yes, it certainly is. The name of the company is Draken International, with a website, drakenintl.com. And where is this company located?
I thought for a minute you said Dragon. Interesting.
It's pretty close.
Similarity.
Yes, very close. And where is it located? Lakeland, Florida. Deep state forces could try to hijack Draken aircraft to launch a missile against Air Force One. Draken International is described by Sharp magazine as the world's largest private tactical air fleet. As the magazine Sharp explains, Draken's CEO is Jared Isaacman. He has amassed a collection of military aircraft that's already the world's largest privately owned tactical fleet. Reagan has won every Red Air contract offered by the U.S. Air Force in the past 3 years. The company owns 90 fighters and counting and just announced plans to acquire 20 Mirage F-1s from the Spanish Air Force. According to Draken's website, quote, with a fleet of 150 tactical fighter aircraft, Draken owns and operates the world's largest commercial fleet of tactical ex-military aircraft. Draken openly talks about their contract air support, that's in quotes, contract air support services, including, quote, aggressive support, unquote, and air-to-air missions, all using the ex-military fighter jets. What are the odds of a live French air-to-air missile being discovered on the tarmac of an airport in the exact same city where a private company exists that offers contract air support, air-to-air missions, and owns and operates nearly two dozen of the French Mirage aircraft capable of firing the very missile that was discovered there? Draken International claims to own and operate 22 of those Mirage F-1M aircraft, any of which would be capable of firing the live missile discovered in Lakeland. Our concern here isn't about Draken itself, but rather the possibility that deep state forces plan to perhaps steal a Mirage fighter jet or kidnap family members of Draken board members in order to force the company into giving up a fighter jet that could be armed with missiles to attack the targets of the deep state, such as the White House. When it comes to the deep state, there's nothing too lawless or evil for that people to pursue. What we are pointing out is that the resources to acquire a fighter jet, mount a live French missile, and fire it at Air Force One to assassinate President Trump are suddenly converging in that same single city, Lakeland, Florida. This cannot merely be a coincidence. We believe someone may be targeting Draken and planning to hijack Draken resources to achieve a kinetic attack against the United States of America. If anybody's eyebrows were raised about the discovery of the missile, it had to be the top corporate officers of Draken International. If you read about the officers and board members of Draken, these aren't a bunch of newbies to the world of military aircraft. The executive team consists of former high-level military officers, Department of Defense weapons specialists, fighter jet combat instructors, and intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance veterans. The COO of Draken, for example, boasts of 4,000, and this is in quotes, 4,000 hours, including over 2,500 combat and combat support hours in the RC-135 VW rivet joint.
Quite a coterie of non-novices.
That's right. But Draken also has some sketchy partners in the world of weapons manufacturing, including one company that admitted to carrying out felony fraud against the United States of America. Draken counts as its strategic partners BAE Systems, a weapon systems contractor that has been steeped in criminal conduct. In 2010, BAE Systems pleaded guilty to, quote, conspiring to defraud the United States of America, unquote, and paid a $400 million criminal fine due to its corrupt business practices and unlawful conduct. And that was announced by the Department of Justice March 1, 2020. To reiterate, we are not claiming any nefarious intent by the Draken International people, and it may be that the company is founded by pro-American patriots who love the U.S. Constitution and are making honest money by securing missions around the world to protect worthy assets. Nevertheless, when we see corporations like Draken bragging about partnerships with other weapons companies that have admitted to felony fraud and corruption, it reminds us of how dirty the defense weapons industry really is. And it brings up the obvious question, does anybody at Draken have a past that could allow them to be blackmailed by the deep state? Draken's new CEO previously worked for DynCorp, which has been linked to human trafficking.
Yes, Lou. As long ago as back in the Bush years, we can't remember her name right now, but there was a young, up-and-coming African-American congresswoman. And she bravely, in the congressional hearings, confronted some figures. I believe she even went up against Cheney. And, of course, this alleged sex trafficking of women and children, this got stonewalled again. But, you know, just lately, we have Arizona Representative Paul Gosar turning the tables on everybody trying to cover up this terrible aspect of the deep state, because he has made the statement, child trafficking and the deep state are real. Systemic racism is a hoax. And he is the same one, too, who has talked about the wars that are endless, and Trump trying to stop them. You'll have more on that later. But he said a list of people who have been wrong about every national security issue for decades. We don't need these luminaries leading us into another needless war. But this is so important when we see all these intricate connections there with DynCorp, with Draken. So pick up that story about this link with DynCorp.
Mike Adams' article continues. Just to make things even more concerning, the new CEO of Draken is Joseph Joe Ford, previously of DynCorp, a corporation steeped in criminal activities and child trafficking. Joe Ford is not personally linked to any of this, but he has emerged from a hornet's nest of nefarious activity at DynCorp. According to a 2017 article in News Punch, quote, a top Army general has been arrested on charges of child rape as part of an elite pedophile ring investigation in the U.S. Former vice president of DynCorp, Major General James Graciaflin, has been charged with multiple counts of child rape occurring between 1983 and 1987.
And, Lou, we've been hearing that A.G. Barr and Trump, the administration of Trump, are trying to ferret out some of this child pedophilia and get some of these people prosecuted. And we really applaud these efforts.
Oh, yes.
But go on.
We certainly hope they succeed.
Yes.
Yes. Moving on. Major General James Graciaflin. His arrest represents the latest in a series of high-level pedophile ring busts by investigators tasked with ending human trafficking and child abuse by the elites in America. While potentially just a coincidence, Graciaflin's connections with DynCorp immediately raise a red flag, as the company has been embroiled in numerous high-level scandals involving the exploitation and trafficking of children for sex, dating as far back as the Bosnia conflict during Bill Clinton's tenure as U.S. president. Revealing the extreme level of complicity by DynCorp in the illegal exploitation of children, former employee Ben Johnston filed a RICO lawsuit against DynCorp after he was originally fired for reporting human rights abuses by other employees during the Bosnian conflict. In a 2002 report titled DynCorp Disgrace, Johnston was quoted, "None of the girls were from Bosnia. They were imported in by DynCorp and the Serbian mafia. These guys would say, I got to go to Serbia this weekend to pick up three girls. DynCorp leadership was 100% in bed with the mafia over there," unquote.
And this is just about the time that Alex Jones on InfoWars told his listeners that his gravest death threats in parking lots and other places were related to this, that he was to shut his mouth about DynCorp, and the sex trafficking.
Yes, that's right. And now back to the words of Mike Adams. Now it seems likely that Joe Ford didn't like what he saw at DynCorp, so he got out of that company as quickly as he could. He worked there for 4 years and 9 months, according to his LinkedIn profile. We aren't accusing Joe Ford of anything at all. He might be a super awesome guy. He's a U.S. Air Force veteran and previously worked for Beechcraft Defense Company. If I had to take a guess about Joe Ford, he's probably a very patriotic American who would never intentionally be part of any sort of plot to bring harm to the U.S. president or commit crimes against anyone. But people like Joe Ford can sometimes be targeted by deep state actors or seditious traitors who attempt to leverage his position at Draken to try to hijack aircraft. That's why people like Joe Ford need to be running very good personal security teams, because he may be at risk of a kidnapping or blackmail attempt to leverage his position so that deep state operators could gain control of a Mirage aircraft and use it to try to assassinate the President of the United States. In fact, this risk exists for all Draken officers, given that they command very powerful jet fighters which, when armed with the very kind of missile that was just discovered in Lakeland, turned a civilian fleet of aircraft into a literal private air force of missile-toting attack aircraft. It also brings up the obvious question. How many missiles were not discovered and removed? How many missiles are sitting in warehouses somewhere in Florida right this very minute, ready to be mounted on fighter jets and fired at the targets named by the deep state? And that's a resource that a lot of deep state anti-American spooks would like to get their hands on, no doubt. Sadly, treasonous traitor, Barack Obama put a lot of seditious military personnel in power during his 8-year attempt to destroy America, and they remain anti-American traitors throughout the U.S. Armed Forces. That's why we urge all the top people at Dragon to redouble their corporate security efforts and make sure no outside forces succeed in hijacking the company's aircraft and use them to carry out assassinations or false flag operations designed to destabilize the United States and throw the November elections into chaos. This again is Health Ranger Mike Adams of naturalnews.com speaking. If I were part of Dragon's security team, reading this article, I would immediately initiate an internal audit to identify blackmail vulnerabilities and security weaknesses, given how desperate the anti-American, pro-communist forces have become in their efforts to try to overthrow this nation. I would also take steps to increase the protection of immediate family members of Dragon officers and vices. We hope that Dragon is run by patriots, and we pray that no weapon formed against the United States of America succeeds in its mission. And for the record, once again, we are not accusing Dragon of anything at all. The premise of this story is that Dragon has resources that treasonous elements who are actively working against America may try to hijack and deploy against America. Therefore, Dragon needs to be on alert for its own sake. Furthermore, we call for President Trump to arrest all traitors and seditious operators in the United States of America, which includes the evil deep state traitors like Brennan, Comey, McCabe, and others, who will obviously do anything in their power to overthrow this nation and plunge America into an authoritarian communist regime run by treasonous leftists. Finally, I will reiterate that this website, which I founded, is 100% pro-law enforcement, pro-police, pro-military. We support veterans and have donated lots of money to veterans groups over the years, and for first responders. We understand the world is a very dangerous place, and we thank God every day for U.S. nuclear submarine commanders, for example, and stealth bomber pilots who can help secure America by letting the enemies of this nation know that if they try to attack us, we will obliterate them. It is only by this mechanism that America can maintain any degree of safety whatsoever in a world run by insane communists and madmen. If Dragon is operating in support of this mission to protect America and help secure our constitutional republic, then we wish them the greatest success in doing so, and we urge them to maintain the highest security measures to prevent black hat actors from using their resources to potentially harm this nation.
Yes, Lou, it was very important to give that entire article. And our second emergency alert tonight in August shows the longtime symbol of the French Revolution slaughter and the prediction from Revelation of the saints' beheadings, that is, the gruesome guillotine. Where is it? Why, where else? On Portland Survivor Island, Unreality Reality Show. Three different websites noted this ominous symbol and the concomitant blood in the Portland streets. Ryan Saavedra, DailyWire.com, August 23rd, 2020. Leftist storm suburb with guillotine, burn American flags, get in the effing streets. Violent rioters attacked police in Portland on Saturday after marching through a suburb area carrying a guillotine and other weapons. The Portland Police Department said that a group of 250 people participated in the march throughout the suburb area on their way to the Penumbra Kelly building, which houses public safety offices. Later on in the night, a far-left activist screamed into a bullhorn at residents in the suburb area that they needed to provide the rioters with shelter because she claimed that the rioters were protecting them. The woman yelled into a bullhorn, "What are you doing to protect your neighbors, people in their houses? Get in the effing streets," another man screamed. "There are safety in numbers," the woman on the bullhorn yelled. That's her English, not mine. "We protect you every night by being out here. Please come and protect us. Make sure you are offering us refuge. We are tired, and yet we are still out here. We are simply asking for one night, 1 hour." The violence comes as the city has seen roughly 86 nights of riots. Once at the Penumbra Kelly building, the rioters targeted law enforcement officials with rocks, bottles, paintball guns, and lasers. Many participants in the march carried hardened shields, helmets, armor, gas masks, and wore all black clothing, the Portland Police Department said in a statement. At least one participant targeted the Portland Police Air Support Unit airplane with a green laser. This is extremely dangerous and could cause disorientation for the pilot in addition to permanent eye damage. The Portland Police Department continued. At 11:45 p.m., officers began to push the crowd to the west. Rocks, bottles, and other hard objects were thrown at officers. One lieutenant was struck in the back of head with a glass bottle. His helmet prevented him from being injured. A Portland fire and rescue medic embedded with one of the squads was hit in the shin with a large rock. He suffered a minor laceration to the leg. At 11:59 p.m., due to the life safety danger, a riot was declared. More warnings were issued from the PPB sound truck. The sound truck was struck and damaged by rocks and eggs. The rear window of a vehicle used to transport a rapid response team squad was shattered by a rock. Numerous officers reported seeing individuals bearing press insignia throwing rocks at them. Officers initiated another push, attempting to convince the group to leave. This time they went south on Southeast 47th Street and Southeast Stark Street to Southeast Stark Street. Officers disengaged again. Protesters lit traffic barricades, mattresses, a door, and other debris on fire in the intersection. Another article, which tells more about this place of the guillotine. Video, Portland rioters roll out guillotine, execute American flags. This is by Frankie Stocks. Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and this is from the National File website. Black Lives Matter and Antifa-linked rioters in Portland, Oregon, used a guillotine to perform mock executions on American flags and a stuffed teddy bear. Lou, it's these inanimate things, but they're gunning for real people, aren't they?
Oh, I think that they are just hoping against hope that they can get their hands on some real people.
Outside a police bureau building Saturday night, the latest in a nearly constant 3-month string of violent left-wing demonstrations in the city. Footage shot by Brendan Gutzenswager shows a large group of rioters gathered in the streets cheering as members of the crowd dump accelerant onto burning American flags draped over the guillotine's restraining assembly, where a condemned prisoner's head would rest immediately before decapitation. Quote, "Someone rolled a mock guillotine with a stuffed bear into the street. The bear and multiple U.S. flags were burned," the Portland police wrote in a Sunday morning statement. According to the statement and photographic evidence, officers were pelted with rocks, bottles, eggs, and paint balloons while also facing down rioters armed with blinding laser pointers and paintball guns. Following the declaration of an unlawful assembly, 14 arrests were made as clashes with demonstrators stretched into the early morning hours. As a result, many Portland residents were left helpless and defenseless as police, preoccupied with violent mobs, were stretched far too thin to properly patrol the city. Between 45 and 50 officers had to be pulled from precincts to assist in the protest response, police say. For most of the duration of this event, there were between 120 to 140 calls holding in the city of Portland. Calls included shots fired, assaults, alarms, threats, and suspicious circumstances.
In the midst of all this BLM and of chaos, there's a really, really good note for all of us Americans who want the endless wars to end. From Big League Politics, August 21st, 2020, by Shane Treo. President Trump announces he will be removing all remaining U.S. troops from Iraq. President Donald Trump announced this week that he will be removing all the remaining United States troops from Iraq in the near future. He told the Iraq Prime Minister that he would arrange for troops to leave the country, but would make sure that national security interests would not be jeopardized with the withdrawal. Said Trump, "We're helping where we can." He said regarding the sustained U.S. military presence in Iraq, which is closing in on 2 decades of occupying the nation. Then he went on to say, but it's a separate country. They have a prime minister. They have people in office. They have to man that country. We've been in Iraq a long time. Frankly, I didn't think the Iraq war was a good idea. Now we're getting out. We'll be leaving shortly, he said. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo declared that troops will leave Iraq, quote, as soon as we complete the mission, unquote. And he went on to say the president has made it clear that he wants forces down to the lowest level as quickly as they can.
And we know there's pushback from those neocons like Bill Kristol, and we heard that Senator Lindsey Graham was not really invited to be part of the Republican convention. So there is a war there going on. Go ahead, Lou.
Pompeo added, quote, that's the vision he has given us, meaning President Trump, and we're working with the Iraqis to achieve that. The president has also made candid comments about the military-industrial complex, the entrenched Pentagon bureaucracy that lobbies for endless war so globalist defense contractors can keep cashing out on the blood of U.S. troops.
And now, let's move right on, Lou. We're in the middle of all this new stuff that happened in Wisconsin, you have a lot to say. Let's move right on to your next part.
The next part is blood in the streets. Left-wing Portland rioters display bloody guillotines as they burn American flags, and new Democrat logo says death to America. Now the mask is off. This is, by the way, by Mike Adams from Natural News, August 23rd. Now the mask is off, and the Democrats are telling us exactly what they have planned for America.
And now, to anyone who has studied the occult symbols of the New World Order, this is truly fascinating. Some of you know that if you have an upside-down star in a circle, that's a black magic pentagram, and we're pretty darn close to it. Lou will be telling you more. Continue, Lou.
In Portland, left-wing rioters, all of whom support Joe Biden over President Trump, brought a blood-splattered guillotine to the riot and put it on display while they burned American flags and held Black Lives Matter signs, demanding an end to America. Their message couldn't be any more clear. They seek to burn America to the ground and murder anyone who gets in their way. They are violent left-wing lunatics who respect no law, no freedoms for anyone else, and no rules of civilized society. They nearly all support communism and Joe Biden, and they promise to burn down America's cities and murder people in the streets if they don't get what they want. The Portland Police Bureau issued an official statement describing, quote, rocks, bottles, and dangerous items, unquote, that were thrown at police alongside blinding lasers wielded by left-wing rioters trying to cause permanent eye damage to law enforcement. Remember, these are the people every Democrat in America describes as, quote, mostly peaceful, unquote.
And Lou, I'm going to interrupt you to give this other headline from Big League Politics, and we'll return to yours. Flash riots break out in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after police-involved shooting of suspect resisting arrest. This was by Richard Moorhead. Rioters have emerged in the city of Kenosha, Wisconsin, on Sunday after city police were involved in the shooting of a criminal suspect earlier today. And the shot individual was later identified as Jacob Blake, with Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers recognizing him as a victim of police brutality without so much as a day's investigation. Blake is at an area hospital and is expected to survive. And it goes on to tell how the police shot this suspect multiple times when the individual refused to comply with commands to surrender, and he appeared to be reaching into his vehicle. And we don't know. They're not telling us whether he had a gun or what. But here is the cause célèbre. It only took hours for mass riots, says Richard Moorhead, to emerge in a normally police peaceful Lake Michigan City with mobs of rioters setting fires, attacking police officers. Rioters torched a truck during the riots. And so now we have this fire being lit in another place. But let's go back to Portland, Lou.
And here's a statement by the police. Many participants in the march carried hardened shields, helmets, armor, gas masks, and wore all black clothing. At least one participant targeted the Portland Police Air Support Unit airplane with a green laser. This is extremely dangerous and could cause disorientation for the pilot, in addition to permanent eye damage.
Yes, and we're overlapping here a little bit, but this is rather important news.
Yes, that's right. Individuals in the crowd threw rocks, eggs, and glass bottles in the direction of the officers.
And I think now let's move on to yours and my essay.
All right. This is an essay that we posted. In fact, it's in the process of being posted on our website.
And let's tell our wedding. Yes, we really had a wedding anniversary this summer, didn't we? And
yes.
It was 36. And so that's on our minds always, too. But if you don't see this article right away, we were having a few website problems. We hope that you will soon see it. And that's at dividedkingdomradio.com. And you can scroll down to the archives. Despite what you might see or don't see in the printed matter, you can always listen. We've had some very important programs. So go to the archives and hear our programs for August the 6th, the 13th, and August the 20th now. This important emergency broadcast with the live missile that could bring down Air Force One and the guillotines, the awful symbol. You know what? We did not do something important in that other article. You must tell about the logo. Go back.
Yes, that's
and
right.
This death to America, because this D, I will just interject here, this D isn't a perfect circle, but if you imagine that it's a circle and the star is not completely upside down, it's tilted. It's just on resting on one point. That's like a pentagram. So that's the D. Then it, so it has, read on, Lou, what Mike
said. That's right. It has the D, as Elizabeth said, with the star inside it. The star is formed in such a way that it's pointing directly to the right. That's very important. In the middle, there's a number 2, a numeral 2. On the right, there's a circle with a map of the United States, then a line of the whole USA inside that circle.
So the message is death to America.
That's right, because it looks like a bullet is being aimed, or a gun is being aimed, straight at.
Yes, because that star is made of like two arrows, an arrow down and an arrow across. Isn't that right?
It is, and also the shading of, I don't know how to describe it, the portion of the star that points to the right is shaded darker than the rest to make it look like an arrowhead.
Exactly, exactly. So we see what's going on. Now let's go back to our new essay.
Yes, it's entitled, Will There Be Blood in All Our Streets? By Elizabeth and myself, August 26, 2020. Tuesday, August 25th, Tucker Carlson asked White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows why the Justice Department and or the Civil Rights Commission has not stepped in to stop the riots in American cities. It was clear from Tucker's reaction that Meadows' answer did not satisfy him. It's not satisfactory to us either. The same day, ex-New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who cleaned up crime on a massive scale, told Laura Ingraham on the Ingraham Angle, quote, you let this go too long, and then it's coming into the suburbs, unquote. He remarked that in truth, the BLM and of her hordes were already doing that, even now. The SOS headline of Mike Adams' essay at naturalnews.com on August 26th read, quote, enough. It's time for law enforcement to begin shooting violent terrorists and rioters who are trying to burn America to the ground, unquote. Adams documents a young woman at Kenosha, outside the Kenosha courthouse, holding an American flag, shouting, kill the police. BLM scumbags accosted restaurant diners, demanding they raise their fists for black power. Fox News later, update, 2 persons were killed. Adams says these are violent, racist bigots and unrelenting attacks on innocent people all across America. And America must act now to defend the rule of law. It should be clear to any thinking person that only a massive display of force will stop these riots. To make a few scattered arrests will do little or nothing to solve the problem. The federal response seems reminiscent of Neville Chamberlain's boast after his 1938 meeting with Adolf Hitler at the Munich Conference, quote, peace in our time, unquote. Within 1 year, World War II had begun. The present attitude of local and state officials toward the lawlessness seems, quote, keep hands off and let it run its course, unquote. Meanwhile, they handcuff the police, not the criminals. This disgraceful behavior may stem from more sinister motives in many cases. The Democrat mayors, as well as some governors, seem to favor the rioters. Is their plan to destroy or drive out the middle-class citizens so these anarchists can create their own twisted utopia? And, of course, cities will be bankrupted in the process. But what do they care? Then they can extort more money from state and federal governments. Patriotic senators Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton have been pleading for months for federal intervention akin to President Dwight Eisenhower's invoking of the Insurrection Act, sending National Guard troops to countermand Arkansas Governor Orval Forbes' refusal to integrate Arkansas schools. Words from one of the divided kingdom's most trusted military contacts. Quote, one battalion, maybe one company-sized unit of the 82nd Airborne, or 101st Airborne, on the first or second day of rioting in one or two big cities, shooting to kill looters and anti-thug fascists, would have stopped this coup ASAP, immediately, unquote. If this is too warlike and would precipitate the elite's hoped for fermented civil war, then certainly the more peaceful scenario of what Ike did, now modified to send in massive numbers of National Guard, could bring the situation under control. Americans detest what has happened to St. Louis couple Mark and Patricia McCloskey. Do we have to wait for the November elections for any action? Or will that, too, make any difference?
Yes, we're living in very startling times. And it's imperative that we pray for our country. And we know that Reverend Franklin Graham is going to be leading deep prayer. I think it might be September 28th down on the Mall in D.C. So we urge all of you listeners to pray for our country to repent as never before. And last time I read part of my satirical essay about the Democratic Convention, and of course I read about night one, had Buffalo Bill returned out of the long ago Howdy Doody TV Twilight, bringing out Phineas T. Bluster lookalike Bernie, the Marxist Redux, and of course there were stage directions for Bernie to start animating his puppet-like self, and he was pumping the hammer and sickle fist, wooden hands waving wildly. And he chattered that Trump's gulfed, the future of our planet is at stake. And his eyes bulged with the obsessive Green New Deal delusion. And then, of course, we head out of the $11 million mansion in Martha's Vineyard. We had the Barbie doll, Michelle Obama, softly coming to us, salaming into our living room. And the backdrop was this common folks little backdrop in this mansion with just one ugly painted yellow wall and some cheap wobbly bookcases out of the dollar store. They were just wrought iron. And she told us how she was pained to see pepper spray put on peaceful protesters, I should say. And she said what would set us free was a cold, hard truth. And then we moved on to saying that maybe nothing could top all of these people, but you know, Wednesday evening did, and I'm going to read from my essay. We need a little comic relief, but Wednesday evening indeed proved this statement to be wrong, and that was the statement that nothing could be topped unless rapper Cardi B were to give Joe Biden another unspeakably vile interview. So Wednesday night, the hurdy-gurdy puppet show and museum show began showcasing two dolls with double faces. First, former First Lady Hillary with a new flattened, stringy, trailer park appeal hairdo. Behind her, usual pro-Democratic Party, anti-Trump remarks. If she turned slightly, the other face, the Secretary of State one, could be glimpsed in the shadows. We heard its eerie voice cackle. We came, we saw, we killed him. Doll laughs. Libyan and Bengali Fuzzy Chuckler doll number one, Hillary, had made her statement for the evening. Shortly, almost her double, a statuesque brunette in a Hillary pantsuit, strode onto the empty COVID stage. In her speech, Kamala Harris's impassioned love of family in America later brought former DNC head, now Fox commentator, Donna Brazile to tears. One other commentator on the program cynically disagreed, saying that the speech was somewhat pedestrian and would not be long remembered in the Republic. Note that when Kamala turned slightly, her doppelganger second face could be watched coming into focus. This one a subject in Peter Schweitzer's book, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power. Schweitzer's book claims for 13 years as district attorney, Kamala Harris failed to prosecute even one case of child sex abuse by Roman Catholic priests. The previous DA, Terrence Hallinan, had aggressively investigated sexual abuse cases of priests in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Schweitzer claims that Harris hid vital records and that her initial campaign to unseat Hallinan included a large number of donations from high Roman Catholic Church officials. Perhaps the brunette two-faced doll had better be wary of the blonde two-faced doll's intent. Doug Hagman, August 12th, on the Hagman Report, made the point that Kamala Harris is not eligible for president because neither of her parents was a natural-born U.S. citizen. Does this mean Hillary has been the dark horse puppet, readying all along to step into the final stretch of the presidential race? And then, imaginary fife and drums might have played as the scene switched to the Philadelphia Museum of the American Revolution. There stood Tin Soldier Ayatollah Barack Obama in all his metal charisma, the swagger commented on by later a TV news person. Jihad commander began to speak, wearing an upscale deep state suit, certainly not mullah robes, certainly nothing to remind Americans, viewers, of the bowing to Middle East kings and princes, nor of Jihad Barry's amazing Cairo allegiance speech and the photo of him, both hands down, during the national anthem, while near him, Hillary Clinton had her hand over her heart. The former leader of the free world, deemed the un-American president by book author Glenn Park, told TV viewers that the Constitution was an imperfect document. Slaveholder founders, yes, he said, it held a North Star. We improved this document. Treasonous sabotage, this living constitution idea. Speaking fondly of expecting Dems to be the custodians of this constitution, he said, I did hope that my successor, Donald Trump, would take the job seriously, but he never did. He has found no interest in finding any common ground to help anyone but himself. Not one mention of Portland, Survivor Island, or any of the other Dem blue cities in chaos. But the Ayatollah Tin Soldier addressed hurting unemployed Americans' most urgent concerns, reassuring them, Joe and Kamala will restore our standing in the world. We can mobilize, overcoming threats from climate change. If you want to hear about Biden, you'll have to wait till next week. Keep our country in deepest prayer. Good night. We'll be right back.